Good morning, and thank you for joining me. As we have stated here for the next couple of lessons, we're going to be looking at the Christian home and family. Today we're going to notice the duty of parents. And what we've seen so far is marriage is a sacred institution that joins man together with a woman. As husband and wife, they are joined in holy matrimony, with each one giving their God-given duties to one another. We've considered the duties of the husbands, where we are commanded to love our wives, respect our wives, and support our wives. And then last week, we noticed the duties of the wife, who are commanded to submit to their husbands, love their husbands, and manage the home. Now, God's purpose for marriage is to create families in which children have the benefit of parents who provide the best upbringing possible. So for this reason, and for this to be able to occur, parents have to fulfill their duties. As we began this series, we quoted from Pope John Paul II, who said, "As the home goes, so goes the nation." Well, if that's any standard by what we look at, our nation and the homes are in terrible shape right now. We want to begin this lesson by looking again at the duties not of the husband, but of the father. He is to provide the necessities of life. Parents ought to provide for their children. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, "Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." So we see here it's a biblical principle that parents are to provide for their children. And a man who fails to do so for his family, Paul says, is worse than an infidel in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. He says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel," depending on which translation you look at. So Paul says, if you won't provide for your own, and a lot of times we look at that as just putting a roof over their head and food on the table, but there's more to it than that. You have to provide everything that life offers, everything that they need in this world. That includes protection. That includes discipline for our children. But we also see that the Bible teaches, as far as the duties of the father, that he's not to provoke his children to wrath. This is an admonition that's found twice in the scriptures. The first place that we see and we notice is Ephesians 6 and verse 4, where he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Again, this goes back to providing for your children. As a parent, as a father, one of the first things that you should desire most of all when it comes to your children is for them to go to heaven. You should bring them up in the nurture and admonition, the training and admonition of the Lord, so that they can become Christians. In the sister passage to this, in Colossians 3 and verse 21, Paul again says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." By unreasonable commands, by needless severity, and by the manifestation of anger. Barnes says about this passage, you shouldn't do things that are unreasonable in what you tell your children to do. And you should not have needless severity, the punishment for when they don't do what you do or what you want them to do. And he goes on to talk about that, lest by your continually finding fault with them, they should lose all courage and despair of ever pleasing you. Believe it or not, children want to please their parents. But if their parents, their father, are unreasonable in what they request and command and demand of their children, then the children lose that interest. But another thing is that they need to provide spiritual training. Going back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it talks about that in the training. The English Standard Version says discipline. in the English Standard Version talks about admonition, meaning instruction of the Lord. So bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Training by way of instruction. You know, you go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we begin reading in verse 6, and Moses is saying here from God what God told him to say, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. God is telling Moses to tell the children of Israel to teach their kids the statutes, the laws, the judgments of his word. And it's interesting. He says, you shall teach them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You know, it's a sad note when we look at our society. In Nashville right now, the parents are suing the school system and the city because their kids can't go to school, because their kids can't participate in fall sports. And I saw an interview on one of the local news stations where a football player on one of the high school teams in Nashville said, "This is all we've got." How sad of a statement is that? For them to think that all they have in the world is a slim chance at best to go on and become a professional football player. But if we would do what God tells us and to train our children spiritually, then they have something more than just a slim dream. In Deuteronomy 32 in verse 46, he said to them, "Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law." The psalmist writes for us in Psalm 78, beginning in verse 4, "We will not hide them from your children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Know that the word must first be in the father's heart. The father cannot teach something he knows nothing of. Then the father can lead his family like Joshua led his." We read in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, where Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Fathers need to lead by example. They need to train by example. Consider this from a book titled Discipleship Journal. The writer says, "When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. So you go from 75% to 15% when the father is not a believer. Now, he is also to provide loving discipline, even as our Heavenly Father disciplines his children." Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 10. "And even though it may be unpleasant at times," Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And the proverb writer says in Proverbs 13, verse 24, that "he who spares his rod hates his son, and he who loves him disciplines him promptly." So from the father's duties, now let's move on to the duties of the mother as she is part of this parenting duo. Again, she is to love her children, as older women were to admonish the younger women, as we've noticed last week in Titus 2 and verse 4. She is, for sin can lead a lack of proper affection, according to Romans 1 and verse 31. And from the American Anthropological Association, it says that tragically, more than 200 women kill their children in the United States each year. And we question ourselves why Paul would tell the older women in Titus 2 to admonish the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Secondly, she is to manage the household. It's a primary responsibility of the wife and mother, Titus 2 and verse 5, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. And it's an important quality of the virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. The most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, and the list goes on. And anyone who can handle all of those things has to be somebody special. And the mother is. She's a homemaker. And that quote comes from Richard Kerr, quoted in a book called Homemade, February 1989. But she also is to provide spiritual training, especially when male leadership is lacking. And we see a good case of this in the study of Timothy. His mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek, according to Acts 16 and verse 1. And perhaps contributing to the fact that Timothy had never been circumcised according to the Jewish faith. We read about that in Acts 16 and verse 3. But Timothy had become a disciple, and he was well spoken of in Acts 16 and verse 2. Now, his faith was positively influenced by both his grandmother and his mother. Paul speaks of that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. But too often, fathers neglect spiritual training, and they leave it up to the mothers to pick up the slack. And it shouldn't be that way. Both the father and the mother, they have a job to do as a team, to raise up godly homes, to raise up godly children. Now, blessed are the homes in which fathers fulfill their duties as Christian men, and mothers fulfill their duties as Christian women. And I'm going to just stop right here and say that no home is perfect. As fathers and mothers, both of us, all of us, oftentimes will fall short. But with God's grace and mercy, we can do the best that we can. And we need to give our children the guidance that they may succeed where we have failed. And finally, let's have some food for thought. Let's list 7 ways to impact our child's faith. Number 1, model a growing and personal faith in our own life. Because if they don't see it in us, then they won't nurture it in their own lives. Number 2, include faith in normal conversations. Number 3, be well-rounded. Don't compartmentalize your faith. Number 4, be authentic. Don't be fake. Number 5, serve the Lord together. Number 6, pray for your children and pray with your children. Number 7, learn and communicate love in their language. That comes from a book titled The Relaxed Parent by Tim Smith. Now, as I said at the beginning of this lesson, at the beginning of this series, Pope John Paul says, as the home goes, so goes the nation. As we look at our world today, the home seems to be in despair. We need to strengthen the home. Daddies, you need to step up. Mommies, you need to step up. You need to be what God would have you to be. If you have any questions for me, you can look me up on Facebook. You can question me at the Facebook of the Eastside Church of Christ, or you can join us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll meet this morning at 10 a.m. at 1803 Madison Street, or you can look us up at church at eastside.com, and you can leave us a message there on our website. Again, thank you for joining me.